For this morning's public reading of God's Word, turn to the third gospel. You got Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And turn to Luke chapter 4 this morning, please. Luke chapter 4. Now, as we turn there, last week we saw Jesus confronting his enemy, Satan. And now we're going to read when Jesus comes out of the wilderness after having a spiritual battle with the evil one and winning, he goes back home to where he was raised, and that's Nazareth. And let's see what happens. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, that's in the north, around the Lake of Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. There was a buzz going on with this Jewish rabbi. And he taught in their synagogues, in the plural, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. So it tells you where he was raised. And as his custom was, as his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So if Jesus can read the Bible, so can me and you. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now I'm going to quote from the Old Testament that Luke incorporates, in which Jesus actually read on this day. Quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Unquote. And he, Jesus, closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and Jesus sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened or glued on him. And Jesus began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Please be seated. I stopped here on purpose, and you will see that next week. So Jesus comes out of the desert. Now I want you to do something. Look at verses 14, which I just read in your hearing. It says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, he's in the desert. And when he comes out of the desert with this 40-day-plus battle with Satan and scores 3 victories against his archenemy, who's also my enemy and your enemy, he comes out of the desert full of the Spirit of God. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 4. Notice this. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Whoa! He goes into the battle. He goes into the fray. God in flesh, empowered by the third member of the Trinity, to holy battle. Scores 3 touchdowns against the archenemy of all that is good and pure. And when Jesus is all done, he now goes home, and when he walks out of that desert, he's filled with the same power that drove him into that desert to put on those gloves, if you will, and spar off with the wicked one. Isn't that beautiful? He goes into the desert empowered, and he comes out of the desert still empowered. And so now he goes home, verses 16, and the Bible tells us, as his custom was, he goes to the synagogue where he was raised as a young boy, with Mary his mother and Joseph his stepapa, And Jesus had four half-brothers and at least two half-sisters. So as Jesus was the oldest of the family, going to the synagogue, they would have their appropriate seats or whatever, standing or sitting, and they would hear the scriptures read. Well, when a Jewish boy hit 13, he would have what's called the bar mitzvah. And at the age of 13, that Jewish boy was no longer considered an adolescent. He walked over into manhood at 13. How many 13-year-olds can handle manly duty? Jesus was now primed and trained by his stepdad to assume the role as a male member of the community. What a job in hand and a responsibility. And one of those responsibilities, in a rotating cycle, the Jewish men would take turns standing behind the podium, given the book of Isaiah, which was 700 years old. That prophet lived seven centuries before Jesus. And the ruler of the synagogue gave Jesus the scroll. Jesus opens up the scroll where the bookmarker was left. And Jesus begins to read from the book of Isaiah. And what does he read? Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Well, look at verse 14. And look at verse 1. Jesus wasn't lying, was he? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You see the word anointed? That is where we get the word, get this, Messiah. That's Hebrew. What is the Greek equivalent to Messiah? Christ. Jesus was the anointed one. He was anointed with the Spirit. Look at verse 1, look at verse 14, look at verse 18. He substantiated, I am filled with the third member of the Godhead. Now, there are those who take verse 18 and they love to make this into a social gospel. That the pastor is to visit the jails. He's to go in the gutter and pass out box meals to the hungry. Beloved, this is not what it's teaching. Let me give you the definition. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Not poor in wealth or in the wallet. Poor of soul and spirit. When a person begins to sense their sinfulness, as the gospel is preached, and they see the fact that the wrath of God abides upon their shoulders, and they need to run to a Savior, and it's our responsibility to point sinners to the Savior, to the anointed one who sits at the Father's right hand, we point them to Christ. You who are poor in spirit, you who see your bankruptcy before heaven, you who come to realize that even in hell you won't be able to pay the debt that you owe, but one has already paid that debt, flee to Christ. You go to Christ, fall on him, cry to him, plead with him. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, not because you got a John Doe letter, not because your boyfriend or your girlfriend left you, and now your heart is smitten. Oh, brokenhearted. Why is my heart broken? Because I stand before God undone. I stand before God unclean. I stand before God as a condemned sinner, guilty before the bar of God, and I need a Savior. I need one to mend my broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captives. We're not talking about those in a jail in Shawnee County. We're talking about those who are in bondage and addicted to their sin. Recovering of sight to the blind. We're not talking about people who tap with a red pointed stick. Blind how? Blind in spirit. Deaf in their ears. They cannot hear the gospel. They see no beauty in Christ because there's scales on their eyes, spiritually speaking. They need to have the scales removed and they see the beauty of Christ. Remember the verse back in Peter? You love someone and you believe someone whom you've never seen. And set at liberty them that are bruised. Oh, beloved, sin. Sin bruises people. Everybody in this room, and those of you who are hearing me, you have seen the result of sin, even in our own families. It crushes people. It destroys people. Doesn't sin destroy relationships? Doesn't sin destroy a community? You don't believe so? Then look at the jails, look at the reform schools, look at the cemetery. Sin, beloved, is a deadly killer. It ranks higher than cancer. And so here Jesus is telling us that when he came to bring a spiritual healing, a spiritual release, a spiritual deliverance. These are not meant to be taken physically. This is talking about the spiritually sad state of a man and a woman who doesn't know Christ. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then in verse 20, he closes the book. He sits down. And beloved, everybody has their jaws hitting the pavement, fascinated and fixed on him like, whoa! What gracious words have dropped from those lips? And then comes the offense. Then comes the envy and the jealousy. As everybody in the synagogue that day is sitting down, isn't that Joseph's boy? Remember some 30 years ago, there was the rumor that Mary there had committed adultery? Isn't he a bastard? When Jesus walked this planet, people viewed him as a bastard. Because she was 3 months pregnant as a virgin. And Joseph was minded to put her away from being taunted by the local neighborhood women. And having the stigma of being with child, and Joseph was not the daddy. Did you realize that? On one occasion, his adversaries threw this back at his face. We be not born of fornication. I'm legitimate. There's a cloud over your head, sir. Did you realize that? The rumor in Nazareth was he was a bastard. Mary, hanky panky, and Joseph comes in to save the day. Is this not Joseph's boy? Next week, you're going to see how that envy almost turned to murder that same day after he read the scriptures. Did you realize that? You're going to see that next week. Well, may God bless the reading of his word.